Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us for our second day of our marketing article entitled No Box Goes All In. And we had a very fascinating discussion with two marketing experts here in the studio. This is your teacher, Josh, and I'm joined by Rebecca and Simon. And, of course, I was talking about myself and Rebecca being the marketing experts.
I'm so glad you said that.
Being the content expert.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we need both. We need both content and marketing.
Yes.
Content is king,
content
Simon. That's what
king.
You're supposed to say
That's
right
what we
there.
Say.
Marketing, it would be nothing without good content.
That's absolutely true. Except it seems that after yesterday's article, the two are kind of merging. Content is becoming a marketing tool.
It certainly is. And Rebecca, we're glad you're with us because you operate the social media channels for Studio Classroom and Let's Talk in English and Advanced. And of course, your pages would be very boring without content.
Yes, content is the key. Content is why people look at us every day. So like Simon was saying, content and social have merged.
What about marketing Studio Classroom? Is it, you know, it's a tough thing, right, in terms of showcasing our content, why our methodology works, in an era these days where people's attention spans are so short?
Yes, and it's precisely because people's attention span is short, it means they don't have too much time for you, that we need to be on multiple platforms. We need to be online. We need to be on Facebook. We need to be on WeChat. We need to be in as many places as possible so when they get on the platform, they'll see us.
We're still not on Twitter, though.
We're not on Twitter. Josh is a big fan of Twitter. I think Twitter is a great medium. But because we just don't have enough people here on Twitter yet, we're still exploring the possibility.
I'm on Twitter.
Yeah. Simon, you can follow on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
I'll be perfectly honest. I haven't checked it in about 2 years, but I am on Twitter. I have an account.
Well, it is growing in Asia. Not as fast as Instagram. Instagram is a really fast-growing app where you can comment and share photos. But I think I struggle between, do I put my picture on Instagram or do I put it on Facebook? How do you decide where to post your pictures?
Well, that's actually a really good question. I think for me, like if I want beautiful photography, I go to Instagram. And if I want to talk about my life, I go on Facebook. So that's kind of how I put the, like how I decide.
How about you, Simon? It's all Facebook for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not
Facebook
an Instagrammer.
Is king, just like the content.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we met a company called NoBox, and they made a big shift in their business. What was that word yesterday we used to talk about a shift in business?
Well, we used the word pivot, which of course means a turn or a change in direction.
And where did they head to, Rebecca?
Well, they went into social, trying to cap off yesterday's lesson in one sentence. Basically, they said social is the center of everything we do.
Mm. And they used this term that none of us had heard before, human-to-human marketing. This idea of putting your message in the hands of your customers and then empowering them to share it with like-minded people.
Yeah, there was another word they used yesterday, resonance, which of course means like a deep connection with people. And so companies were seeking to create resonance with their customers or their clients so that those people would feel such a connection that they decide to spread the message by themselves to other people.
And that's our goal with our social channels here, right, Rebecca?
Yes, that is our goal. Our goal is for people to identify with us and for our content to always be useful for their everyday life.
And then we gauge the success of our posts and our line messages on the statistics, the data that we get to see if that resonance occurred.
Yes, and how we do that is basically we look at the number of likes, we look at the number of comments, we look at the number of shares. And this affects how we design our new content. So social and content is actually merged together because when we look at, okay, if there is one post, for example, maybe we talk about cherry blossoms, and we have 1,000 shares on it. That means a lot of people really want to learn English about cherry blossoms. So we design our content to talk more about similar things in the future. And that's kind of how content and social, they work with each other.
So we are listening to our audience, Simon. We talked yesterday about how it's challenging, right, to respond, to take in our audience's input and feedback on the content.
That's right. We certainly try. We spend a lot of time in particular dealing with students and schools. I do anyway in my job. And it's always good to hear input from different teachers and students and even listeners of programs like this, because we do try to make content choices based on things that our listeners and our students find of interest and find useful.
And it used to be 10 years ago, you know, you wrote a letter. And usually people who wrote letters were complaining about things. So it was hard to just say, oh, we got one letter that didn't like this, and then make a big decision about it. Now with digital, you have so much more data at your fingertips that rather than just how many letters did we get.
Yeah, the letter thing actually, it was there was a lot of good and bad that seemed to come with it. Now, of course, people send less letters. But we do get a lot of emails still about different kinds of things, some positive, some negative. I think the thing to remember, though, is that in most of our English teaching products, there's a great deal of variety. And that's done intentionally because we want everybody to be able to find something that is of interest and something that's useful to them.
Well, at the end of our lesson yesterday, again, we're on pages 32, 33, and 34 in your May magazine. We did not get to fully describe that last paragraph. Again, KnowBox was founded by these two gentlemen. You can see a picture of them on page 32. And they're focusing on Latin America. Tell us about that, Rebecca.
Yeah, this is actually very interesting. To review Latin America, South and Central America, both founders, Garcia and Fittipaldi, they do have Latin American backgrounds, which makes Latin America, a natural choice in some ways. And there are a few characteristics that make Latin America very attractive. For one, they have a booming millennial population. Simon, would you like to tell us what millennial is again?
Well, they're basically people who sort of came of age during the turn of the new millennium, so in the year 2000. And basically what that means is they're people who are, they've sort of grown up with the internet and with new technology, and so they're sort of internet natives.
And it says it's an underserved market, meaning it's not getting its fair share of attention or budgets put towards them by big brands.
Yeah, that's right. Right now, of course, the hot region in the world for marketing and sales kind of stuff tends to be Asia. But it's important to remember that there are some very big and very quickly developing markets in other places in the world, for example, in Latin America.
And it says it's also one of the hottest markets for tech companies. And when I think of tech startups, you usually think of Silicon Valley or Santa Monica. I haven't thought much about Latin America.
Yeah, I've never thought of Latin America as a tech center. So it's actually very interesting that a lot of technology companies are going to go there, or they're there already.
And it says their social marketing campaigns in that region account for 80% of KnowBox's business. So they are not just dabbling in this market, right, Simon?
That's right. Latin America actually is fairly well known at this point for a lot of its startup cultures, particularly in countries like Chile, where they've really sort of placed a national focus on startups and introducing new businesses and entrepreneurship and things like that.
Well, we thank you for your patience as we ended yesterday's program at the start of today's program, but we're ready to get started here with day two of our article. We're going to ask Steve to read our first section where you see the 22. Latin America has some of the highest social media adoption rates in the world. You have consumers in Latin America spending two times, even three times as much time on social media than worldwide averages, said Fabiana Farias Jenkins, Marriott's Vice President of Marketing and E-Commerce in Latin America and the Caribbean. We feel that travel is a great vertical for social. Our guests travel, take pictures, they want to share, they check in at different locations. We feel it is a strategic imperative for Latin America. If we want to be connected with our guests and really have the pulse of what is important to them, we have to insert ourselves into that conversation and that space, she said. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about why Latin America would be a good place for a company like Knowbox to do business. Remember, Knowbox is a technology and digital marketing company founded by two Latin American men, and we know that Latin America is a hot market for a company like this. Why might it be a hot market, Rebecca?
Well, this is actually really fascinating. Here it says that consumers in Latin America, they spend three times on social media compared to the rest of the world. That is actually incredible. So that means if somebody in China spends 2 hours on social media, somebody in Latin America might spend 4 hours on social media. So if people are spending so much time on social media in Latin America, it makes perfect sense to do social media marketing.
Also makes me think, does anyone work in Latin America, Simon? If they're all on social media all day.
Unfortunately, that might be sort of the stereotype this plays into a little bit. It's kind of Latin America sometimes has perhaps an unfair reputation that is similar to Southern Europe.
Right.
Right? You hear some of that right now with various things that are going on there.
And I'd say that when we talk about adoption rates, Simon, I'm sure they're getting higher everywhere, right? But in this case, things like Facebook and mobile penetration, they're off the charts.
Well, that's right. For example, we've talked about my poor social media use habits already today. We've talked about Facebook and Twitter and different things like that. When you're adopting new technologies, it just means you're starting to use them with some regularity. And so people in Latin America are maybe a little different from people like myself in that they're signing up for multiple different platforms, different kinds of social media, and they're using them all at the same time instead of just kind of reserving their place on that media and waiting to see if they'll try it later.
And we're going to learn a little bit more from one of Knowbox's clients. Who's that, Rebecca?
Well, that is Fabiana Farias Jenkins, and that client is Marriott Chain of Hotels.
Yes, and she's in charge of marketing and e-commerce for Latin America and the Caribbean. So she's keeping her eye on things like mobile adoption and social media penetration, looking at the stats of how her customers are using technology and where she can engage them. And when you talk about travel, that's obviously perfectly suited for social media, right, Simon?
That's right. There's an interesting term here that I'm kind of hoping the two of you can give me some more insight in. It's this idea that social media is a great vertical for this travel industry. And the idea, of course, with a vertical is that a vertical is something that moves from the bottom to the top. And so the idea is the entire thing, the entire travel industry.
And we usually talk about it when we want to talk about a niche or some sort of narrow channel that you're going to be talking to someone within. So we're going to focus just on mobile when we want to talk to millennials, let's say. That would be the vertical that we're going to choose to engage the millennial generation in. Why is social and travel such a good fit, Rebecca?
Well, it actually makes sense because when people travel, they love taking photos. I think all of us are like that. Usually when we're in our own city, we don't take so many photos, but when we're traveling, we take tons of photos. And once you take the photo, you want all your friends to see it, so you're going to put it on your Facebook or your Line or wherever you are on social media.
That's right. And this idea of checking in.
Yeah, the idea being that people are putting on their social media places that they have been or places where they happen to be, and maybe including comments about it. I think it's a very important part of sort of what we might call the hospitality industry. restaurants and hotels and different things like that. And I think it's becoming more important because people are wary of trusting travel sites and review sites. There's been a lot of news about things like fake reviews, for example. And so, if your friends have been there and they've liked it, that's a much more trustworthy and safe recommendation than you might get from just looking off the internet.
And she says it's a strategic imperative. When something is an imperative, it has to happen. It's a must-have for that company. And I couldn't imagine a hotel or a travel agency not using social media.
Yes, they've come a long way. We've come a long way.
It says if we want to be connected with our guests, and again, we're talking about Marriott's guests, they really have the pulse of what's important to them. When you talk about something having the pulse,
that means really understand what's important to them, know what's going on.
Do we have the pulse of our studio classroom audience?
We certainly work hard to get the pulse of the audience. Unfortunately, we have a huge audience with a lot of really varied listeners and users. And so sometimes it's hard to keep the pulse on everybody, but we do what we can.
I think an important point is the pulse does change. So that's why, for example, here, Marriott Hotels, they have to keep tracking social media to see what people are saying about them. Because what was important yesterday might not be important today. Yeah, and that's what, at Studio Classroom, we also have to work really hard to understand the changing pulse.
That's right. And different things are important to different users, too, right? Some are very concerned about price. Others are much, much more concerned about quality or service or different kinds of things like that. And so people who have different concerns, they'll have different ideas and things going on.
And the channels that are important to them are changing as well. Rebecca doesn't put much time into the Studio Classroom MySpace page anymore.
It's pretty much dead. And Josh mentioned earlier about Instagram. I think we should go back to this when you're talking about social, is the platforms keep changing. Instagram is attracting a lot of young people, a lot of millennials, people in their early 20s, people in their teens. And if you want to get after these young people in their teens and their early 20s, you need to be on Instagram. So these platforms also change. We have to keep our eye out on that as well.
But as soon as my mom joins Instagram, it's not going to be cool anymore.
That's right.
The kids are going to move on to something else, and we'll have to get ahead and build a whole nother page
and
on another channel.
Yeah, and that's why companies like Nobox are important, because they help you keep an eye on what's going to be the next hit, and they're on it before you're on it.
That's great. Well, we're going to move on to the next section of our article. We're up at the top of our second column of page 33. A varied approach. Connecting with those users is not a one-size-fits-all approach, however. That's because Latin America's many countries, cultures, dialects, and economies require a deep understanding of the individual markets to craft messaging that connects and scales. To help do that, Nobox's Social Brand Lab approach uses a variety of social media channels to test digital messaging with target audiences until an effective one that resonates is identified and then amplified. This approach effectively uses the power of the crowd to focus group different digital messages to find approaches with the widest appeal. What we are doing is human-to-human marketing, Garcia said. It's not just connecting with the consumer on a human personal level, it's creating a chain reaction with consumers sharing with other consumers. The power of H2H is turning your consumers into your marketers. And it all starts with social, said Farias Jenkins of Marriott. All of the other marketing mediums and consumer messaging get built from there. Well, we've been talking about how we connect with you, our customer, on the Studio Classroom Facebook page and Line channel and website, of course. We can't forget the web. It's still very important. And it's because not we can't use a one-size-fits-all approach. And brands can't do that either.
Well, that's right. We were just talking about how when your mom signs up for a social media platform, younger people don't want to use it anymore. But one of the challenges that companies face, of course, is, well, for example, at Studio Classroom, we want to teach your mom English, too. And so we have to be able to communicate with younger people and older people and all kinds of different people with different interests and help them all out.
That's a good point. You can't just focus on what's next because a lot of people are still using what's here.
Mm-hmm.
People have been prognosticating the demise of Facebook for at least 3 years now, and they're still growing.
Prognosticating?
Yes.
My goodness.
Forecasting, prophesying that Facebook is going to die. Do you think it's ever going to die?
No, I don't think Facebook is going to die. In fact, I read a recent article that says it has over 1 billion users now, and it would have more people in the world than every single country except for China. And Facebook intends, Mark Zuckerberg, their CEO, his intention is for everyone in the world to be on Facebook.
But that's why here with Nobex, they're recommending this idea that a one-size-fits-all approach isn't going to work for everybody. You can't just use one platform and hope to reach all kinds of different customers or different users.
And that's especially true in the area that they focus in, of Latin America, because they have varying audiences there.
That's right. Here it says they have many countries, cultures, dialects, and economies. So what works in Brazil might not work somewhere in Peru, for example.
Yeah, in Brazil, of course, they speak Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very flourishing, dynamic economy. They have poverty, too, but they've been growing financially in a huge way, while some other parts of South America are extremely poor.
That's right, and other parts are fairly developed but seem to be stagnating, while some parts are growing very quickly with sort of a free market approach.
So it requires, it says, a deep understanding of each of the markets. And it's just not as easy as North American marketing, because you can use English and usually just use the same creative for all your different ads. But in this case, you have to tailor it or craft it to each of those different constituencies. And also create a message that scales, too. What does it mean if something scales?
Well, it tells us here that it means going from one level to the next. And I think probably an easier way to understand that is just to think of it as something that changes its fit. So it fits a different group. It adjusts the way it is fitting to the group.
To a much bigger group. For example, maybe before I just opened one shop, and mm-hmm. now I have 100 shops. Yeah.
That's scaling. Well, to help do that, Nobox has built something pretty unique. They call it their social brand lab approach. In a lab, you're experimenting, right? And that's what I imagine they would then do with each of their clients and try different things, test different messages, and use the ones that are most effective. And we can do that because of the data we receive through digital. Right, Rebecca?
Yes. And what's actually also very interesting with the data is we don't have to pay much money to do these focus groups online. For example, if we want to do a cheap way of seeing whether customers like a specific thing, we can just put it on Facebook and see, are a lot of people commenting, sharing this, liking it? If they are, maybe this is a product we want to try out.
That's right. You mentioned 1,000 shares of your cherry blossom photo. Did you share that information with Simon, who then wrote a Let's Talk in English lesson about cherry blossoms?
This is something we need to do because we have to move faster. And the whole thing with social is it moves very quickly. So what's popular cherry blossoms is right now, it might not be in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cherry blossoms only last 2 weeks, Simon. You got to move quick.
Got to move fast. Got to move fast.
Write your cherry blossom article right now.
Pressure's
right
on.
After this lesson.
Got to convert it into a super CD.
But we have done focus groups here.
Yes,
when
we have.
Rebecca and I worked hard on the Hot Words app, Hadanzi, that you can buy in the app store of both Android and iPhone. We brought in some high school students, right?
That's right. And what you do when you run a focus group is we let them try out the app. Then we ask them questions, and we let them talk about it, and then we improve the app based on their recommendations.
And we didn't even have to pay them, Simon. We just gave them cookies.
Gave them cookies. Basically free.
They were happy to help out. They were volunteers.
Wonderful.
They were thrilled to help. Well, Garcia goes on in line 15 to tell us that what they're doing there at No Box is human-to-human marketing. And we talked about that phrase yesterday. But at the end of this quote here, he actually turns it into a kind of a cute little acronym. What's that, Rebecca?
Well, he says, he calls it H2H, right?
Yes.
And he says, the power of H2H is turning your consumers into your marketers.
How do we do that as a company? How do you make someone in your audience become your marketer?
Well, that's the trick. He actually describes a little before he talks about H2H as connecting with the consumer on a personal level. And so that it creates a chain reaction, meaning that the person is so affected by this thing they're seeing that they want to share it with other people. And then those people also will be affected and want to share it with other people. So that's the idea of a chain reaction.
And it's actually a very affordable way of doing marketing, because if you have your customers talk to other customers about you, it's much cheaper than you going around buying up ads. So this is actually a very price-effective way to do marketing.
And to conclude our lesson for today, it says it all starts with social. And now we go back to Farias Jenkins, who's the head of marketing for Latin America for Marriott. And she concludes by saying all of the other marketing mediums and consumer messaging get built from there. So we've called social is the center. We've called it the focus. Now it's really the foundation of Marriott's marketing. So very, very important. Well, it's also important that you join us for our final day of our marketing article, as we'll conclude our lesson tomorrow. Until then, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.